Get on the train that takes me away. Not gonna see you for a while.
Why?
It's an away game. It's an away game.
I'm coming home soon.
G'day, I'm Eric, and welcome to episode 9 of Eric to the Penalty Box, talking all things Australian Ice Hockey League this week. But before we get into that and an epic show, let's hear the national anthem of the country of Norway. Hello and welcome to episode 9 of Eric to the Penalty Box. That was the national anthem of Norway, as I continue to feature various national anthems around the world, apart from Australia recognising some of the countries where our imports come from in the Australian Ice Hockey League. A big weekend for me. I ended up heading to one game last week and possibly two games this weekend coming up, as we review last week's action on the 2nd and 3rd of August 2014 and have a look at this weekend coming up on the 9th and 10th of August as the finals get closer to Melbourne on the 30th and 31st of August. Anywho, before I start, I must issue an apology and also a correction to last week's episode. When I was previewing the weekend's action for last weekend, I accidentally had the Melbourne Ice playing the Adelaide Adrenaline at the Ice House in Melbourne. Both of those teams had a weekend off. I realised that after I recorded it, and I amended the article that I wrote for Hewitt Sports accordingly. But, of course, the podcast had already gone out by that stage. So anything that I said about the ice and the adrenaline last week, forget about it. That's this weekend. But we have an awesome weekend of hockey coming up. All the teams are in action. Everyone's playing two games, and it's going to be a week that will really make or break the competition. So before we go into some depth and tell you in detail what happened last weekend, let's briefly run through it first of all. The first game was the CBR Brave versus the Newcastle North Stars in Canberra. That match was a very close match. Could have went either way, but the Brave ended up winning 3-2. The other game for Saturday was the Thunder hosting the Melbourne Mustangs in Perth, and that was a controversial game for details that I'll go into in the match report. But the Mustangs ended up winning their 3-1. And then on Sunday, lots of action on Sunday, lots of goals on Sunday at the Bears Dome at Sydney Ice Arena. The Bears, unfortunately for me and all of the Bears fans that were there, they lost to CBR Brave, who were absolutely on fire. The Brave winning 12-4. More about that coming up. And also, just up the road in Newcastle, the North Stars, they defeated the Ice Dogs 5-3, And over in Perth, the Mustangs got the job done against the Thunder, 7-4. So having a look at the results, they are the results in brief, and let's have a look at the competition table as it stands now. The competition table has now been corrected to take into account the extra points that the Bears, the Adrenaline and the Brave had from last week. So on top of the tree are the Melbourne Mustangs on 44 points. The CBR Brave 1 point behind them on 43. The Melbourne Ice, who didn't play last weekend, they are on 38. And the Adrenaline, 1 point behind them, they also didn't play last week, also on 37 points. One game behind, or 1 point behind them, in fifth position are the Sydney Ice Dogs on 36. And then we look down to the Newcastle North Stars 29, Perth Thunder 25, and the Sydney Bears on 22. So having a look at the top five, Mustangs 44, Brave 43, Ice 38, Adrenaline 37, they're the top four. And in my opinion, the only other team that has a chance at the top four, the Ice Dogs on 36. We've, depending on who you talk to, the North Stars and the Thunder, still some mathematical hope on 29 and 25 points respectively. Having a look at the scoring leaders, dominated by the Canberra Brave and also the Sydney Ice Dogs. Stephen Blunden, wow, what a weekend he had, as I'll talk about in the match reports in full. He is now on 57 points. He's played 19 games. He has 31 goals, 26 assists for a total of 57 points. Matthew Olietti, who I'll also talk about in some detail in the match report, he is also on 57 points with 17 goals and 40 assists. Below him, Simon Barg from the Sydney Ice Dogs, 51 points, 17 goals and 34 assists. And below him, Anton Kokkonen from the CBR Brave on 50 points, 15 goals, 35 assists. And then after that, we have David Dunwoody from the Sydney Ice Dogs on 42 points, Cody Danberg from the Newcastle North Stars on 39, John Cleary from the Sydney Ice Dogs on 36, and Matt Armstrong from the Melbourne Ice on 36. So lots of goals there, and Stephen Blunden well ahead of the rest of the leaders. It's just going to be probably a four-horse race between Blunden, Olietti, Barg and Kokkonen to see who's going to be top overall over the next few weeks. So that is what is happening very, very briefly. In a moment, we will talk a little bit about the matches that happened over the weekend. So let's talk about the first match that we had on the weekend. The Newcastle North Stars needed to win to keep some sort of slim hope for their finals chances. The CBR Brave, however, are looking to get into the top four in their first season of being in the Australian Ice Hockey League. So a trip down to Canberra for the North Stars, where of course it would have been bitterly cold. We're in the middle of the Australian winter, and the North Stars ended up winning the game early, but then again, having said that, you have to win at the end, and CBR Brave did exactly that, winning in total 3-2. So a very good weekend for the Brave. They picked up maximum points, as the Mustangs did, by the way. As I mentioned earlier, they picked up maximum points as well, and they really, really needed to. Now, the first period, looking at the box score, there was no scoring in the first period. Stephen Blunden picked up 2 goals in the second period at 13:31, and a power play goal at 4:34 to make it 2-0 at the end of the second period. So shots on goal, favouring the Brave in the first quarter, 12-3, and it was equal in the second period, 8-all. But the third period is when the North Stars made their comeback. With two goals in the period, one at 16-19 to Matt Watini and one to Katie Danberg at 7:59 to make the score 2-all. Anything could have happened, but in the end, Anton Kokkonen, he got the game-winning goal at 1:39. An interesting incident happened on this occasion during this game. At the 2 minute and 8 second mark in the first period, Stephen Blunden was sent to the penalty box for illegal equipment. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that means, and that's not necessarily the important thing about what happened. But what happened was that there were a couple of CBR Brave fans who took a selfie with Stephen Blunden while he was sitting in the penalty box. Now, I haven't been to Canberra yet, but if you talk to any fan of the Australian Ice Hockey League who has been to Canberra, they will tell you that the rink's small, it's old, it needs updating, but the atmosphere is absolutely awesome. And there's not a lot of separation in the penalty box between the crowd and also the person inside the penalty box. Now, Stephen Blunden didn't appear to mind. He'd probably know the guys fairly well. I think, saw a couple of them in Sydney the following day, so they're not just some random fan who decided to have a selfie. They were, you know, fans of long standing, I dare say, but luckily they picked their target. Blunden wasn't too angry. You wouldn't want to do that to a member of the opposition because you don't know what would happen. And the way things are going in terms of workplace health and safety, you know, even a hockey rink could be considered a workplace. You know, there might be a time where, for everyone's protection, you might have to put in a proper penalty box at places such as the rink in Canberra or Sydney Ice Arena or whatever, a similar sort of penalty box that you'd find in the NHL or at the Ice House in Melbourne, for instance. So there was a lot of debate over the weekend and into the early part of the week in relation to that particular photo. Was it good? Yes, it was used for promotion. So in that way, it sort of emphasises that most of the time the players are approachable and they are very approachable with their fans in Australia compared to other places. Whereas sometimes, you know, players get angry. You know, they've been sent to the penalty box because they've done something wrong on the ice. So you have to expect that the penalty box is a place for them to cool down, cool their heels sort of thing. And the last thing that an angry player might need is a fan taking a selfie of them, you know, in relation to that. So no damage done on this occasion, although it could have been a lot worse. Shots a goal in the third period actually favoured the Newcastle North Stars 11-9 as they made their comeback. The North Stars didn't convert any of their power plays, and the Brave converted only one out of five of them. So in the end, another couple of goals to Stephen Blunden. Petri Pikkanen, of course, he played the entire game, saving 20 out of 22 shots. Harrison May, as he usually does, played most of the game as well, saving 26 from 29. He must have been pulled late to make the extra attacker, and so he continues to keep well as well. Not many penalties in this one. Really only a 2 minute high sticking and a 10 minute misconduct for Katie Danberg in the second period for the North Stars. But apart from that, a pretty clean and a pretty close game down there in the nation's capital. We'll be right back. So then we move across to Perth, and we talk a little bit about the game between the Melbourne Mustangs and the Perth Thunder at the Thunderdome, where the Mustangs ended up winning 3-1, and it was a very controversial game for many reasons. The Perth Thunder actually opened the scoring on both days. Stuart Steffen scored the first goal for the Thunder at 11:06, and at the 4-minute mark in the first period, Joey Hughes scored a goal for the Mustangs, making it 1-1 at the end of the first period. The Thunder came out firing, and they had the lead shots on goal, 13-8, in the first period. And no penalties in the first period. The second period exploded with a checking to the head major to Rick DeBasso from the Perth Thunder. He was judged to have made an illegal hit to the head of Victor Gibbs-Chanin. Now, I actually haven't seen footage of this. I want to see, I want to see definite footage of this. It was actually a game that was televised on Fox Sports, and that is done by the guys from ATC Productions. Perth usually don't live stream their games, however they do put out highlights packages on YouTube. So we were actually able to see this incident. Now, depending on your point of view and what team jersey you're wearing, your point of view changed, and some people thought that it was quite a fair enough hit, and then some people are saying, well, we're not supposed to hit the head at all, and then other people thought that it hit Victor below the head and reached up and ended up hitting him in the head. So that's basically the same as hitting him in the head anyway. He was replaced, Victor Gibbs-Chanin, he was replaced. He tried to tweet and Instagram while he was on the bench. He was told that's probably not a good idea, and he tried to come back later on in the game, but the concussion was fairly severe in terms of hockey players, and he was later taken to hospital for a check, and he was not allowed to play in the Sunday game. So hopefully Victor Gibbs-Chanin will be okay for this week's game in Canberra. So that was a major turning point of the game. I won't go as far as what some of the Perth Thunder fans were saying to say that that particular incident cost them the game. Although, having said that, the Mustangs did score a power play goal after that incident, a goal to Joey Hughes at 8:03. That particular incident happening at 9:41. So the third goal was also in the second period at 5:13, a power play goal to Sean Jones from Vinny Hughes. That sealed the win for the Mustangs with no goals scored in the third period. Shots at goal for the second period were 15-4 in favour of the Mustangs and 13-9 in favour of the Mustangs in the third period, for a total of 36-26 for the Mustangs. They converted half of their power plays, while the Perth Thunder didn't convert any of theirs. And as the match went on, it was a high-spirited game. A couple of misconducts right at the end there to the Thunder, Corey Toy and Matthew Dugas. A couple there, quite a few minor penalties in the third period for hooking, charging, diving. Oh, that would have been an interesting one to see. Tripping, slashing, hooking, tripping, and a couple of misconducts. Saw that game go the way of the Mustangs as they look to stay in their top position. So, looking at the game that I was at on Sunday, it was my first time back to the Bears Dome for a while at Sydney Ice Arena, as the Bears had been playing away from home for a few weeks, and it was good to be back. It was good to be back at at the Sydney Ice Arena. CBR Brave were making their first visit in their history to the Baulkham Hills venue. And the match started, the pre-match was actually quite busy for me. I bumped into Sydney Bears import forward Dane Ludolph, who was all suited up after having some injury concerns over the last few weeks. And I said to him, "Oh, so you're playing?" And he's like, "Oh, no, I'm just having my photo taken, getting the team photo taken today." And Daniel Palmquist was in exactly the same situation. He suited up for the photo. But after that, he basically took all his goalie gear off, and I had a bit of a chat to him in the merchandise stall during the game. He suffered a hip injury when he was in Adelaide, and he's been resting it since, not wanting to aggravate the injury. After that, he's got his home season coming up, so he doesn't want to risk that unnecessarily, and I can totally understand that. So I was handed the camera, and said, "Mate, can you take the photo for us?" No problems at all. So I did that, talked to a few of the players, and then it was action stations, and it certainly was action stations. The match opened with a misconduct. A couple of game misconducts to Alex Stevenson from the Bears and Ryan Johnson for the Brave within the first 2 minutes of play. But the problem was that on this occasion, it was actually announced as Matthew Olietti as being the guilty party for the Brave. But after a while, I saw him back on the bench and I thought, well, that can't be right. If you've got something like a game misconduct, you're not supposed to be on the bench. You get sent to the dressing room. So at the first Zamboni break, the announcer said that the game misconduct actually went to Ryan Johnson, who actually, his name wasn't even in the program. So Matthew Olietti was free to play. Early in the first period, the Bears didn't have any control of this game at any stage. Canberra running riot. They scored three goals to one in the first period, and shots at goal were 11-9 to the Brave. The second period, there was 13 shots at goal for the Brave, 8 for the Bears. Another three goals added to the Brave, so a total of 5-1 by the end of the second period. And at this stage, the Brave were seemingly scoring at will. I'd hear Stephen Blunden's name get mentioned. I actually lost track of how many goals he'd actually scored, and I considered asking him after the game, you know, how many scores exactly did you score? Because his name seemed to be announced quite often. After one goal, I had a look to see where he was on the ice, and I saw him on the bench, and so to those people around me, I said, "Oh, there he is, he didn't score, he's on the bench. No wonder he didn't score that one." But the Brave, they were on absolute fire. Although not necessarily always playing brilliant hockey, but it was a good result for them. The third period turned around. There was a injury to Petri Pikkanen, their goaltender. He was fighting for the puck in traffic, and he ended up copping a skate to the lower abdomen. I spoke to him later. He should be okay, and hopefully he'll play the Mustangs this week. But in the end, their backup goaltender for the Brave, he was called onto the ice. The Bears took advantage of that, and also the match was well and truly gone by that stage anyway. And in the last period, the scoreline was 7-3 to the Brave for a total score of 12-4 to the Brave. Despite this, neither team actually converted any of their power plays. The Brave had two and the Bears had four, and they didn't convert any of them. There were three shorthanded goals, two to the Brave and one to the Bears. A couple of game misconducts in the end. Harry Byers and Brandon Stobbs, Byers for the Brave and Stobbs for the Bears, decided to have a bit of a extracurricular, and so both of those guys were sent to the dressing room for the rest of the match. The league actually used that photo as part of their social media during the week, with the caption reading, "Why can't we be friends?" And so that was an interesting photo to highlight, especially considering that there is actually a no fighting rule in the league. So in the end, Stephen Blunden ended up scoring 6 goals and 1 assist for a total of 7 points. Matthew Olietti did very well for a player that I thought had a game misconduct after 2 minutes. He ended up scoring 1 goal and 5 assists, and also Anton Kokkonen ended up with 5 assists. For the Bears, one highlight was a hat-trick to Ben DeMarco, or as I'm calling him after he scores, Marco Golo. If you've ever played the game Marco Polo in a swimming pool, you'll know exactly why. And so Marco Golo scored a hat-trick, but he was definitely, outshone by Stephen Blunden. Luke Reid played the whole game again, saving 25 from 37 for the entire game. Petri Pikkanen lasted 33 minutes and he saved 18 out of 19 at that time. And then their backup tender, Brad Hunt, came on for almost 17 minutes and saving 9 out of 12. So a comprehensive victory for the Brave, but not one that you can read any sort of form into. Compared to the other four teams heading for the finals. And who knows, any one of the final five teams could have got a similar result against the Bears.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please rise for the Zamboni!
welcome to episode 9 of Irk to the Penalty Box, period number 2. Music, as always, in between the periods, brought to you by the Zambonis, and hopefully there'll be something in the mail for the Zambonis from Australia very, very shortly. At the end of the first period, I spoke about the shellacking that the Brave gave to the Bears 12-4. Now, if you've seen my profile on social media, my profile photo, you'll know that it's me in my Bears jumper and the Sydney Bear, which, by the way, doesn't have a name, but that's another story altogether. And so you can imagine how difficult it would have been for me to sit through that game 12-4. The Brave absolutely on fire, but the Bears for the first two periods had absolutely no answer for them. When I'm at a game, I usually live tweet. I've been working on an app, which I'll talk about later on in the show. So I've been doing some tweeting in relation to that and some live scores in relation to that. But I just lost my Twitter, my live tweeting mojo on Sunday. I was just sitting back enjoying what was going on, in front of me despite the score. You know, just seeing some good hockey, even though my team was getting absolutely poleaxed. And so in that sort of situation, I just got sick of typing Brave goal, you know, score 4-1, you know, Brave goal 5-1. And the third period, there were lots of goals in the third period. As I said, it was 7-3. In the end, in the third period. And the breakdown of the goals was actually quite interesting in the third period. And I wrote an article for Hewitt Sports, there's a link on the show notes to that, that I've called Brave Use the Force in an Unbearable Game. And I was very actually reluctant to write this match report because I didn't want to have it seen as slagging off the Bears because they had 12 goals scored against them. It's the end of the season. We know they're not going to make the finals. They've got a few games left. The imports are going soon. You know, who knows if they'll be back? I don't know. And so what's the point in getting really angry and saying, oh my God, Bears, you suck. You know, you had 12 goals against you. So I held off from writing the match report for a few days. And then I thought, well, I've got a match report to write, but I don't know how I'm going to write it. I have, of course, to give Brave credit because, you know, they scored 12 goals. They had a good game, you know, and the Bears didn't totally suck, and the third period was a lot better. So I thought, yeah, I'll use some humour. Thank you to Miles from Hewitt Sports for and It's All Good All for basically kicking my butt and saying, dude, you just got to write something that's up vibe and interesting. And I didn't feel like writing anything that was up vibe and interesting until he sent me a post, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do an article, and it's going to be awesome. And it was. I've used some pictures, I've used some humour, and I've told the story of the game, but also my story of being there for the game, you know, and my story about meeting up with Dane Ludolph before the game and thinking he was playing, but he wasn't, you know, because they were having the team photo taken. And then my story of being handed the camera and saying, can you take the photo for me? And then talking to Daniel Palmquist and saying, you know, mate, why aren't you on the ice? What's going on? And then, of course, there was the situation with Matthew Olietti that I thought he had a game misconduct, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, shouldn't he be in the dressing room, like, washing his hair at this stage rather than waiting to go back on the ice? You know, things like that that I was able to incorporate. You know, I am still relatively only new to the game compared to some of the writers within the league, And so I've always tried to have a little bit of a sense of humor about it. But this post, and there's a link in the show notes, you know, it's strange sometimes because it doesn't even feel like it's me who's actually writing the post. Like, I'll write it, I'll submit it. You know, there might be some minor formatting changes or whatever made so the post is readable in WordPress, but usually it's edited. There's not much editing done on my post, and it goes up and I read it. And this one I keep on reading, and I'm thinking, is this me writing this report, or is this just some guy, some other guy writing this report? Because sometimes I can't believe that I actually wrote this article, and I also can't believe that I picked up my Bears jumper, my black Bears jersey, the other day after I ordered it in, you know, April or May before I went overseas and before I started this podcast. And of course, this isn't a reflection on the Bears club, but I only received it last week. And when I did receive it, one of the things that I really, really need is my name to be spelled correctly in the back of the jersey, and it was spelt wrong. ERK was spelt EPK, and I checked the writing on my order form, and I wrote it. It was easily an R, not a P, and so hopefully I'll get that back this week or for the Brave game, the final home game of the season, so I can wear it to the finals in Melbourne. So, you know, as I wrote in the article, it wasn't as if I had names like Kokkonen, Olietti, or Rimikainen on the back of the jumper, you know. It was, an interesting day. I'm glad that I took some time to actually think about the report and not just writing it. I know of at least one writer who, in the league, writes his articles while the game's going on. And if I had have done that, I would have been very negative and very downtrodden, because after all, I've been writing about the Bears for most of the season, and I've been doing behind-the-scenes work to improve the game day experience and other things. So when the team goes down, when they go down 12-4, it's hard to stay positive about it. It's very hard, and of course, I wanted to give some credit to the Brave. You know, even though I am writing from the perspective of someone who goes to the Brave games when they're here, but most of the time I'm at Bears games. I've seen the Brave twice live this year, and they were impressive both times. But, you know, overall, I am writing primarily about the Bears and sometimes about the Ice Dogs as well. Basically in Sydney when I can get to either game. And so I recommend that you have a look. I recommend you have a look. And yeah, it's a different look at a game. And this match report almost didn't happen. So I'm rather pleased with the end result. So continuing on, having a look at the games from last weekend, we look at the second game in the series between the Thunder and the Mustangs in Perth. Now, of course, all eyes would have been on the benches to see if Victor Gibbs-Chanin was playing on the Sunday. That didn't end up happening because of his concussion from the previous day. The Thunder opened the scoring with two quick goals, both of them to Jonathan Bremner from the Thunder at 11:15 and 10:31 to make the score 0-0 initially, of course, and then 2-0 to the Thunder. And I just read some unfortunate news today about Jonathan Bremner. He posted on Twitter that he's now out for the season with some lower back issues. So hopefully he'll get that fixed and be back for next season. And then the Thunder, they were leading 2-0. The Mustangs took some time to get out of the gate, so to speak. They hit back with a power play goal at 8:50 to Jamie Burke, and then another goal at 2:58 to Brendan McDowell to tie the scores. And then with 1 second to go in the period, a power play goal to the Thunder from Justin Fox to make the score 3-2 to the Thunder at the end of the first period. Shots at goal were 11 apiece in the first period. And so having a look, just a couple of penalties in the first period. One for slashing, one for tripping, and a bench minor. Not exactly sure what that is. That could be something like too many men on the ice. I'm not exactly sure. And so in the second period, the Mustangs really opened it up, scoring 3-0 in the second period and leading shots at goal 16-7. Andrew Fitzgerald scored a goal at 13:15, and that was good for him because he was celebrating his 50th game for the Mustangs, so that was good for him. Matt Stringer also picked up a goal at 5:20, and the other person who was celebrating their 50th game for the Mustangs scored at 3:24, Pat O'Kane. And so at the end of the second period, the Mustangs well and truly ahead 5-3, but it could have went anywhere in the third period. The Mustangs opened up with a power play goal at the start of the third period, Joey Hughes scoring there. And then a long period of no scoring. Jordan Kroios for the Thunder picked up a goal at 3:27. And then about half a minute later, Pat O'Kane sealed it for the Mustangs with a 7-4 result. Shots at goal in the third period ending up to the Mustangs 13-10 and 40-28 for the game. Greg Hyde picked himself up a misconduct in the third period at 2:48. So a very good result for the Mustangs, winning both games over the weekend. And Fraser Carson, the goaltender for the Mustangs, he had himself an absolutely good weekend as well. He picked himself up the Skaters Network Player of the Weekend. So that was good for him after a good weekend of results. So he was named Local Player of the Week, and so he wins himself a new hockey stick as a result of that. And so he played two games over the weekend. His goal against average was 2.50. His save percentage was 0.907, and he ended up facing 54 shots at goal. So that was very good for the Mustangs and very good for Fraser Carson. And hopefully Victor Gibson will be okay after that hit. Legal or otherwise, you be the judge on Saturday. And so our final game for the weekend, last weekend, that we will be talking about is Newcastle North Stars defeating the Sydney Ice Dogs 5-3 in Newcastle. The North Stars opened up the scoring early in the first period with a shorthanded goal to Bo Taylor. And then John Clelo picked up a goal to equalise at 1-1 at 8:28. And so there was a few incidents in this. I'm not exactly sure what happened because I wasn't there, and neither was the person who wrote one of the match reports. It's sometimes hard if you're watching the stream or if you're watching live. Sometimes you don't necessarily pick up what happened, especially if some things are done retrospectively or at the end of the game. And so there was a match misconduct for Richard Tesserick at the 5:28 mark for the Ice Dogs. David Ferrari for the North Stars picked up a roughing penalty at the same time for that, and a high sticking and a holding apart from that. Shots at goal went to the North Stars 12-7 in the first period. The second period was all North Stars. They picked up two goals. Chris Wilson opened the scoring at 13:57, and Adam Jerick picked up a power play goal at 10:39. And so just having a look at the penalties. Elbowing, misconduct, interference, roughing, high sticking, interference, and a match penalty and a game misconduct to Billy Cliff, who apparently told the referees what he thought of them. And in the third period, the Ice Dogs opened up the scoring with an unassisted power play goal to John Clelo at 14:52. And then the next two goals were by the North Stars. Katie Danberg and JFK scored at 12:45 and 11:38 respectively. That Kennedy goal apparently was a real cracker of a shot, so I'm going to have to watch a few North Stars games over the off-season to have a look at that. And the final goal of the game, not enough for the Ice Dogs. David Dunwoody scored with 7 minutes to go from Simon Barg. And lots of penalties in the third period. Tim Notting picked himself up 10 minutes for a misconduct. Hamish Power for the North Stars picked up a 20-minute misconduct. John Clelo picked himself up a game misconduct right at the end with 8 seconds to go as well. So lots of roughing, lots of slashing, tripping and hooking going on in that particular game. Would have been a very fiery game. And indeed, for reasons that I'm not totally clear about, the assistant coach for the Ice Dogs has been suspended until further notice. I'm not quite sure exactly what that's all about, but quite a frustrating game by the sounds of things up there at the Hunter Ice Skating and Sports Stadium, I think. His ice skating and skating? No, I'll actually be going up to Newcastle this weekend, hopefully. I'm 99% confirmed, but I'll talk more about that in a moment. So, an important win for the North Stars. They came away with the win 5-3, and they have a very, very slim hope, according to some, of making the finals, although I don't necessarily see that happening. What am I supposed to do? Feels too bad like they're nobody. Do my head course friendships through. Slide down. So let's talk about the final series that are coming up before the end of the second period. We now have a grand total of 3 weekends remaining before the final series, the 9th and the 10th, the 16th and the 17th, and the 23rd, 24th of August. And then we go to the finals in Melbourne on the 30th and 31st of August. It was announced yesterday that people will have the chance to skate on the ice at the Ice Dome before the first semi-final on Saturday. So you can go there, skate around, have photos in the penalty box. Hey, I wonder if those Canberra fans will have some photos with Stephen Blunden in the penalty box in Melbourne before the game. That'd be interesting. Yeah, so a chance to have a skate on the ice at the Ice House immediately before the first semi-final. The Ice House, of course, has two rinks, but they've decided to let people skate on the ice before the game as a little bit of pre-game entertainment, so to speak. And, of course, I will be there, and as a result, you will be there as well for Irk to the Penalty Box at irktothepenaltybox.com. And so in the third period, we'll talk about what's coming up for the teams this weekend and for their run home. We'll talk about what I thought of the three-peat DVD for the Melbourne Ice and a little bit more.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please rise for the Zamboni!
It's okay, I know it hurts so. dropping gloves and planting flags. Nobody thought the U.S. was able until Michael Ruse, the only one to move. Thank you.
You are listening to Eck to the Penalty Box. And that song was called Hockey on the Moon by the Zambonis. All of our music in between the periods coming courtesy of the Zambonis. Now, as I start the third period, on last week's show, I mentioned that I would hopefully be able to watch the DVD called The Ice Road to Threepeat. And it arrived last Friday, which was after I recorded last week's episode. It arrived on Friday, and then after work on Friday night, I was able to sit back and relax and watch the DVD, the two DVDs that were in the pack. I was thinking, oh yeah, I might watch some on, you know, early Saturday morning, and then watch some the next day. But I ended up watching the six episodes plus the two special features all in one sitting, and it was, for me as a new fan of the Australian Ice Hockey League, it was a very good introduction to some of the things that have happened before. And of course, by now we all know that the Melbourne Ice did indeed win the three seasons of the Goodall Cup to have the three-peat. You know, it's obviously something that at the start of the season they'd won two, and who knows what was going to happen in the third. But they had, as you'll see in the DVD if you watch it, they didn't have everything their own way during the season. And you get to see a lot of the behind-the-scenes things that you normally don't get to see. And it was very frank. Not one recommended if you don't like language. But having said that, of course, this is sport. Things happen. Emotions run high. You know, and there's a lot at stake, even in an amateur league like the Australian Ice Hockey League. And you get to see a lot of the different venues that the Ice went to. One of the major things that was different for the 2012 season, which this DVD focuses on, compared to other seasons, and of course the 2014 season that I'm following, is that in 2012 there was a conference system because there were nine separate teams, so the league was basically split into two, whereas every team now travels everywhere in the league, but because there were so many teams and that they were spread out, the Gold Coast Blue Tongues were still in the competition at that stage, plus the Canberra Knights that became the CBR Brave were in the competition. But the other teams, the Ice, the Mustangs, the Ice Dogs, the Bears, the North Stars, the Adrenaline and the Thunder were in it. And so you get to follow the Ice around for the whole season. So you get to see them at training. You get to see a lot of game highlights and things like that. And some stunning camera work. And it really does showcase what the league is about. So it was a very good video. I highly recommend it. There's a link on the show notes. Apparently you can actually get the DVD at the Melbourne Ice House as well. So I'll have to keep a eye on that when I go to the Ice House in a couple of weeks. But I thought, I can't wait a couple of weeks, and it's definitely a very good introduction video. If you want to have like a hockey night, you could do things like watch Goon and, you know, put that DVD in for a couple of hours and enjoy it, because let's face it, there's not a lot of there's not a lot of footage when it comes to a DVD of the league that you can watch. So let's have a look what's happening this week and what happened last week in the Australian Ice Hockey League. Of course, I did go into some detail into last week's games. The Melbourne Mustangs are leading in 44 points, and last week, as I mentioned earlier, they had 6 points in their favour, 2 victories against Perth. And this week they play the CBR Brave on Saturday and Sunday. So those matches, 1 versus 2, will be very, very interesting. Both of those games are streamed. And so there's links in the show notes to the live streams. So you'll be able to see them regardless of where you are in the world. And should be very, very interesting games. So coming up for the Mustangs, first on 44 points. They have 2 games away against the Brave. The 4th Melbourne Derby next weekend. Or next week, I should say, that's a Thursday night game. And then they have the North Stars at home, the North Stars away, and the Ice Dogs away. Those 2 away games are on the last weekend of the competition. The CBR Brave, as we mentioned earlier, they had a 3-2 win against the North Stars at home on Saturday, and they crushed the Bears 12-4 on Sunday, and so they had 6 points, and so they've moved into second on 43 points. And as I just mentioned, they'll be playing the Mustangs this weekend, so they have 2 games at home against the Mustangs, 2 games away against the Adrenaline, and then their final match of the season away against the Bears. And of course, as I mentioned last week, they received an extra point because of that game that was rescheduled and then cancelled against the Adrenaline. And the competition ladder on the online Australian Ice Hockey League website is up to date now. In third position are the Melbourne Ice. You didn't miss anything last week, Melbourne Ice fans. Were the players sitting at home and watching the three-peat DVD? I'm not quite sure what they did last weekend, but this weekend they play 2 games against Adelaide in Melbourne. They don't have any more travelling to do. They have 2 games against the Adrenaline. They play the Mustangs, the North Stars, and 2 games against the Thunder, all at the Ice House in Melbourne to see out their year. The Adelaide Adrenaline also had nothing to do last weekend. Maybe they went to wine country, who knows. They play the Melbourne Ice in a couple of games, and then they have 2 home games against the Brave to see out their season. They really need to keep winning to make sure they've got their spot in the top 4. And of course, as I mentioned last week, they received 2 extra points, 1 per game, because of those games that were rescheduled and then cancelled against the Brave and the Bears. In 5th position on 36 points are the Sydney Ice Dogs. They lost, as I mentioned earlier, 5-3 to the North Stars. And this weekend they actually play 2 games, and they haven't played 2 games on a weekend for quite some time. They play the Bears at the Bears Dome on Saturday, and then they play the Thunder at home on Sunday. And hopefully, for the sake of the Ice Dogs, they will pick up all 6 points. They certainly need it to cement their spot in the top 4. They play the Bears away, the Thunder at home, and then they have the 2 games against the Thunder in Perth, and then the Mustangs at home. Now, as I mentioned earlier, depending on who you talk to, the Newcastle North Stars on 29 points in 6th position still have a mathematical hope. I don't think so, but last week they had a pretty good weekend. They beat the Ice Dogs at home, and they narrowly went down to Canberra in Canberra, so it wasn't a bad weekend for them. And Marty the Moose, he must be ready to celebrate this weekend. They play the Thunder on Saturday and the Bears on Sunday, both at home. I'm 99.9% certain that I'll be in Newcastle on Sunday to see that game, so that'll be very, very interesting for me, my first time to Newcastle for an ice hockey game. And they have a hard schedule coming up. They play the Thunder and Bears both at home, and then they spend the rest of their season in Melbourne playing the Mustangs, the Ice, and then the Mustangs again. So even if they do win both games against the Thunder and the Bears, like they might, still a very, very tough battle for them. Then we move to the Perth Thunder on 25 points in 7th position. They lost both games against the Mustangs, as I mentioned earlier, and this week they play the Newcastle North Stars in Newcastle on Saturday, and then on Sunday they play the Ice Dogs in Liverpool. So a very, very long road trip for those guys. And so they play the North Stars away, the Ice Dogs away, two games against the Ice Dogs at home, and then the final week they play the Ice two games in Melbourne. So I've got a lot of respect for Stan Scott, their coach. He thinks that there's still a chance of making it, but I don't think so. But then again, what would I know compared to Stan Scott? But we'll have to wait and see on that one. It's a very tight competition this year, but if the Thunder and the North Stars mathematically can make it, who do they knock out? Who do they knock out? That is the question. And then finally, the Sydney Bears. They got smashed by the Brave. No sugarcoating that. They got smashed, and they lost 12-4. This week, they play the Ice Dogs in the Battle of Sydney at Sydney Ice Arena. I will be there, and I'm hoping to see that stadium full. And then on Sunday, they go for their final away game against the North Stars in Newcastle on Sunday. And then after that, they have a weekend off. They play the Ice Dogs at home, the North Stars away, and then the Brave at home to finish their season. And as I wrote in my preview for Hewitt Sports this weekend, faithful supporters are hoping for a miracle for North Stars and Thunder, while others believe that they can join the Bears on off-season island. Off-season island. I'll have to continue to use that during the weekend. So let's have a look at another competition which I found out about. I first heard some good details about this competition on It's All Good All, which is another quality hockey podcast. The New Zealand Ice Hockey League, the NZIHL, which somehow is a little bit easier for my tongue than the Australian Ice Hockey League. And so I watched a game. It wasn't being streamed live because the game had already happened, but it was archived, so I was able to watch it. And I watched two teams play it out. They play 20-minute periods on a stop clock, which is different to what they do in the Australian Ice Hockey League. They play two 15-minute periods, and the third period is 20 minutes here, whereas the NZIHL, they play 20-minute periods with a stop clock like they do in the Western Hockey League and also the NHL. So it was a good game that I watched. And there, they've got five teams in the competition going up and down New Zealand. So it's an interesting competition. I definitely have to follow more of that from next year. But it's funny, you know, there are people in my Twitter universe who are from overseas. They might follow the Winterhawks in the WHL, or they follow the NHL or whatever. And they're all screaming out, "Oh, it's summer. We've got no hockey. It's so boring." But we've got the Australian Ice Hockey League. We've got the New Zealand Ice Hockey League. You can stream both of them. There's lots of archives from both competitions. Yeah, you could watch us. Yeah. Because that's what Australians are doing right now. The Australians and the Kiwis, they're watching our league. And then in the Australian summer, they'll be watching the NHL and the WHL and the CHL and everything like that. So it is possible to basically have hockey all year round if you're prepared for it. So the finals for the New Zealand Ice Hockey League are coming up. It'll be very, very interesting to keep an eye on that during the finals. I'll put a link in the show notes just in case you want to have a look at it as well. Not necessarily going to talk about the league in any great detail here, but if something major happens, well, maybe I might. Maybe I might. Plus, the accents are cool. So So to wind things down, let's have a bit of a talk about what's happening with TV streaming and videos for the Australian Ice Hockey League. Some of the clubs, they stream their matches. The Melbourne Ice and the Melbourne Mustangs use ATC. And then there's different groups who also do it in Canberra and Newcastle. And so the two Melbourne teams, Canberra and Newcastle, when those teams are playing at home, you can rely on pretty good streams from those venues. The Sydney Ice Dogs had every intention in streaming. However, for various reasons, that didn't work. There's no streaming from the Sydney Bears. There's no streaming from Adelaide or Perth. However, Adelaide and Perth do put up some video highlights from time to time on YouTube, so it's not entirely lost. But they don't have the streaming like the two Melbourne clubs, Canberra and Newcastle. And of course, there's debate about if there should be streaming at all. Of course, we should be telling people to go to the games and experience the atmosphere for yourself. But then again, especially in the national competition, that's not always possible. It's not necessarily possible for a fan, doesn't matter how dedicated they are, to follow their team away and watch every match. For instance, the Mustangs are a good example of that. Last weekend, they played in Perth. This week, they play in Canberra. They've got a couple of games to go in Melbourne, and then they're back on the road in Sydney. So that'd be a very difficult ask for a Mustangs fan to be at all four of those away games, although I do know of a couple of people who went to the Perth game last week. One went from Melbourne, one went from Sydney, and who are also going to the Canberra game this weekend. So it is possible. But another factor of it, of course, is a growing international audience, a growing Australian audience, and also for people like me who commentate and write and do a podcast about the game, I can only go to so many games, and so it would be really good if every game in the league was streamed and archived, so you can watch it at a later stage. When it comes to Canadian and American hockey in the NHL and the WHL, there is streaming available at a cost. I've actually just purchased an Apple TV, so I can get Game Center for the NHL, and so that will be good. But we're still got a bit of a way to go. We're not a big league here in Australia. We are an amateur league, and so the quality of the streaming that you do get in the Australian League from Melbourne, Canberra and Newcastle is pretty good. A similar standard for the game that I watched in the New Zealand Ice Hockey League on the weekend. I'm not sure if all of those games are streamed yet. I'll have to do some more investigation about that. But yeah, definitely no shortage of that. So finally, I'd like to tell you about an app that I've actually been working on over the last few weeks. About a month ago, I saw an app that the Sydney Ice Dogs put out using the Team App platform. I will have a link on the website so you can go and check out that app. Basically, what you do, you go to Team App, you sign up for a free account, and then you search for the team you want. And then you can switch between whichever team. So, for instance, the Ice Dogs, they were first, and all credit to them. And it was them who said, hey, look, this is available. It can be customized. It's perfect for sports. I actually did try to build an app from a general platform. This one is a team-based platform and meant for meant for team sports, meant for junior and lower level sport, not necessarily meant for for the bigger competitions, but considering the state of the Australian Ice Hockey League, it's perfect. So considering that I've been doing work with the Sydney Bears, trying to promote them, watching their games, writing about them, etc., well, I thought that I would try and just work on this app, see what I can do with it. And after a month of work, thank you to the live testing team who helped me out, the app is now available. So if you go to Team App via your App Store, either the Google Play Store or the App Store for the iDevice universe, you can download it for free. Sign up for the account and then search for the Sydney Bears and also search for the Ice Dogs. I'm also doing some work with some of the other teams, although that's in various stages at the moment. But with the Ice Dogs one, it's pretty standard at the moment. With the Bears one, I've done a little bit of experimenting with it. And a lot of the things in the app are within the app, so you don't necessarily need to go to the website. And there is live scoring. So basically, what happens there is, pretty much like Twitter, you have someone there who is inputting information about the game into the app, and then anyone who has the app and has notifications on, they will receive a notification when the person at the game puts something into the app, like there's a score or there's a penalty or something like that. So pretty much what you see on Twitter for when people do live tweeting, you can see in this app, but you don't need to use Twitter. I know some people hate Twitter. I know that some people only use Twitter to see the results from games. And I know that I've been working hard on that aspect because I know I can't beat every game. And so I do have a small team of people who are helping me out with the project. And of course, you can get it too for absolutely free. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can find out more about it. So as the season goes on, and then we go into the off season and the next season, look for a few more of the teams coming on board as well. So I've had a lot of fun working with that, and there's a lot of work that has gone into it. And I hope that it's just another way of people being able to access information about the league. So I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Irk to the Penalty Box, episode number 9. And this week, as I mentioned, I will be at the Sydney Ice Arena for the Battle of Sydney between the Sydney Bears and the Sydney Ice Dogs, and then on Sunday, I'm 99.9% sure that it'll be in Newcastle for the game between the Newcastle North Stars and the Sydney Bears, but I'll tell you more about that next week. Of course, there's links in the show notes for anything that you want to know. Check out my articles on Hewitt Sports. Check out the team's websites. Like them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter and everything like that. And I will see you next week and tell you more about my weekend of hockey. Don't forget to keep your stick on the ice and keep out of the penalty box. We're about to hear from our band that gave us the little musical interludes during the periods. Keeping it local to Sydney this week, I thought Red Bee would be the perfect choice. They are a three-piece prog metal band from the Blue Mountains. You would think that in musical terms they're short-handed, but they're not. They only need three people, and they do a great job. Like a good hockey team, they've got lots of energy, and we're going to hear some awesome music from the Bee, as they sometimes get called, right now. I'm Irk, thanks for listening. Keep your stick on the ice and keep out of the penalty box. I'll talk to you next week.
what you did to me. You were my life.